This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Welcome to tonight's Parsha Shir, Parsha's Tazria. So, we haven't got a double Sedra this year. It's a leap year, and the Sedras in Vayikra are separate. And Tazria will focus on three very interesting ideas. Mitzvah Hashem, next week we'll have the Pesach HaGodah Shir, and then we'll have a little break for Pesach, and then resume the Mitzvah Hashem after that. So the first idea, Parshas Tazria, if you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com and I'll send you the handout. The Parsha begins with the laws of childbirth. The Pasuk says, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemar, Daber el b'nei Yisrael lemar, Isha ki Tazria v'yolda zohar, v'toma shivas yomim. So she gives birth to a boy, she is tummy for 7 days, v'yom hashmini yimal b'sar losa, he has the bris milah, and then shleshim yom u'shleshis yomim for 33 days, teshev b'mei tahara, they're called yomei tahara, and then for a girl, it's 14 days and 66 days. Now, pasuk vav, v'im lois yomei tahara, and in the completion of these tahara days, levena levas, whether it's a boy or a girl, tovi keves ben shnosai, she brings karbonus. Now, what does she bring? She brings keves ben shnosai le'ola, a keves, a lamb, for a year old as a korban ola, or ben yoina oisar lechatos. And she has a choice to either bring a ben yoina. A ben yoina is a dove. A tur is another type of bird, a turtle dove. Lechatos as her korban chatos, a pesach oil moed ala kohen. V'kriva lifnei Hashem, v'chiper olea v'tara b'mokher domeo, etc., etc. Zos teres hayoledes. Now, the Baal HaTzurim notes a very interesting insight to the exact expression in the Pasuk. See, the Pasuk says, Ben Yoina Oitar. Says the Baal HaTzurim, Bechol Mokum Makdim Terim Le Yoina. Always the Torah puts Tar, the turtle dove, before the Bnei Yoina. Chutz Mikan. For some reason here, the Ben Yoina comes first before the turtle dove, before the Torah. Why is that? Says the Baal HaTzurim, because the Yoledes, the lady who was given birth, only brings one. And if she finds a Yoina, lo yikach tar, then it's much better that she brings the Yoina, the dove, and not the tar. Because if she were to bring the turtle dove, the way of the world of turtle doves is that its partner will mourn her. Mourn the partner, the other one, if you take one of them. Ve'enam is davig la'achen, he won't go and sort of find another mate. And therefore, says the Torah, since the halacha with the yoledes is that you only take one, better to take the ben yoina, because that will cause less sort of emotional damage, if you like, to the animal, because he will go and just marry somebody else. That's how doves work. But when it comes to Torah, to the turtle doves, apparently they don't do that. And therefore, if you were to take one, you're going to take one and leave one without the other with the partner, and therefore that is considered, cruel or whatever you want to call it. And that's based, the Baal HaTzurim, based on a Pesikta Zutra in Vayikra. Now, what do you see? You see from here a lesson in sensitivity. And I saw this in Rabbi Yaakov Bender's Sefer. He makes reference to this Baal HaTzurim. And the lesson of sensitivity that the Torah highlights, that you specifically get the Ben Yoina first to spare the Tur the pain of its partner being taken, is specifically for Yoledes. Because a Yoledes has just given birth and she is now embarking, together with her husband, on a new project of educating this new neshama. And therefore, one of the things that she needs to bear in mind is a lesson in sensitivity. That is a very important and powerful lesson for this new mother. And the concept of being sensitive is very important. The Alter of Slobodka would say the following, that sometimes we get so caught up in doing mitzvahs that we lose, we sort of tread on people's toes on the way. So he quotes an example that the person can sometimes want to go daven the tekeva. And you daven, just came back from Poland a few weeks ago, so we've been to loads of different kfarim. So it's a very powerful thing. You go to kfarim of Holy Tzaddikim, and you can daven there, and you can pour your heart out. But if a person does it in an insensitive way, then it's not worth the paper it's written on. Why, for example, says the Alta of Slobodka, if your tzitzis are out, then you are mocking the person at whose place you're davening. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch in the next box, the Pasuk says, the Mechaber says in Hilchos Tzitzis, Mutzel likonis beis hakvaros, you're allowed to go into a beis hakvaros for who lavish tzitzis. You can wear your tzitzis in a cemetery. For who shall you nigra ala kvaros, so long as they're not exposed, they're not out literally dragging on the kvaros. Avum nigra ala kvaros, that means, you know, if they're, if they're exposed. If they're under your coat or whatever, that's not a problem. But if it's if they're exposed, then osa mishum loyeg l'rosh. Now that's a halacha. It's based on a pasuk in Mishlei in Yudzayin, that the pasuk in Mishlei says you can't mock those who are impoverished. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes this as a source for not exposing your tzitzis in a cemetery because you're making fun of the dead person. It's you're saying I can perform mitzvahs and you can't. And that's considered loyeg l'rosh, you're mocking the dead person. Just by the way, one of the things that emerges when we go to Poland, almost the first stop, we fly to Warsaw, and invariably the first stop is the Warsaw Cemetery. And for many of the boys, they've never actually been to Beis HaKvaros. So if they have, you know, once, and they don't remember the details. So you actually have to talk to them about the hanhog of how to behave in a Beis HaKvaros. And various halachas, and certain respect, and takin your tzitzis, and, you know, kahanim, etc., etc. But one thing I tell the boys is, this halacha, and I say to them, imagine you landed in Warsaw Airport and you're a super rich person, so you can afford, instead of getting on a coach and, you know, making the half an hour trip, whatever it is, you get your own personal helicopter and you can drive and you can fly and land next to the cave of the Netziv in Reb Chaim or the Chemda Shlem or whoever, wherever you're going, the Mozhitz Rebbe and all the other Rebbes there. No problem with that. If there was a helicopter pad, you could park there. If you were to go to Warsaw Airport and pick up your red Ferrari and drive there and park just next to the aquarium, there's no loyeg l'rosh over there. The only loyeg l'rosh is tzitzis. Because in the Olam HaEmes, they're not worried about the Ferrari or the private jet or anything else. The only thing they're worried about is the opportunity that we have and they don't, i.e. performing mitzvahs. That's what Rosh means, impoverished, and that's what really counts. Anyway, and therefore, says the Alta of Slobodka, to be insensitive on somebody else's cheshbon when you're davening and your tzitzis are out, then that takes away from your own tefillahs. Not to, and one has to be mindful of that. Rav Bender tells a lovely story of Rav Yaakov Palm. Rav Palm, with the Rosh Shiva of Torah Vadas, many years when his children were young, he was once walking somewhere with his children, and he finds a $5 bill on the sidewalk, on the pavement. And the kids are ecstatic. This is going back many decades. $5 was worth something, especially from a home where money was not very plentiful. So he explained to the kids, we're very excited, they want to take it, and he explained to the kids that you're allowed to take it. It hasn't got a simon, it's hefka now, and therefore you can take it. Fine, they took the money home, but he put the $5 bill and he put it on the shelf. So the kid said, well, can we now take it? Can we spend it? What can we buy? So he says, look, halachically it's ours, and we will use it, but not yet. Because right now there's someone out there who's lost the $5, a $5 bill. We don't know who it is. It's impossible to return it to him. We've got no idea. There's no simon. But let's just wait a few days just to tap into his pain that he's lost $5. Interesting chinuch. But that's really what this Balaturim is saying. That we dafka, the Torah here, dafka says, you take the ben yoina, and not the Torah, because the Torah will be distressed at the fact that its partner is taken away, because here, with the Yoledas, you only take one and not the pair of birds. Okay, let's move on. The next idea I came across in the writings of Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein in his wonderful Sefer on Chumash, he quotes a fabulous idea of the Shem Yishmur. You see, the main body of the Parsha deals with the halachas of Tzoras, of Nagayim. And this is a very complicated area of halacha. It's a whole mesecht in Taharas of Nagayim. And let's just explore. He makes some very interesting observations. So take a look at the next box, paragraph 2. This is in Perek Yud Gimel. Vayedaba Hashem al Moshe ve'el Aaron leimer. Adam kiye ba'er besaroi, a person who has on his flesh se'es, oy sapachas, oy baheres. Now those are the key words in Masechta of Nagayim. Se'es, sapachas, and baheres. We'll come back to that in a second. Vahoye ba'er besaroi le'negat saras, and he has these negoim, the nega of tzaras, the affliction of tzaras on his body. V'huva el Aharon HaKohen, he's brought Aharon HaKohen, or one of his children. V'roa HaKohen is a nega, etc., etc. And v'roa HaKohen v'tzimei oisei. Now, what is this se'es sapachas paheres? What are these terms? Take a look at the very first Mishnah in Meseches Negoim, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Maros Negoim Shnayim Shehin Arbo. There are actually two types of Negoim which have subcategories. So if you look at the Barat Tanura on this Mishnah, Maros Negoim Shnayim, Ksivi Bikro Behedja, Se'es or Baheres. These are two categories of Negoim. One is called Se'es and one is called Baheres. And they're different shades of white. The Mishnah goes on to say that Baheres is Azok Kashelik. It's as bright as snow. It's a very bright shade of white. Se'es is Krum Beitza. It's a slightly lighter shade, a less bright shade of white. But they're different shades of white. So those are the two. Shnayim, Shehin Arbo. They're two Torah categories, which actually have two subcategories, midrabanan. If you look at the next line in the Barat Tanura, Shehin Arbo, Yesh lechal rabbis oid shnayim acherim, you can include two further types of nega, delo ksivi bekro, which are not explicit in the Torah, vehein toldo de se'es v'toldo de baheres. They're subcategories of those two, the subcategories, what's known as a toldo of se'es and a toldo of baheres. De marbina nuhu mispachas. She'ein safachas she'im nega and loshen tfeila. The safachas means it's a subcategory, it's subordinate to the main category. And therefore, each one has a subcategory which has various names, but that's what a safachas is, the tolda of the two, of those two main negoim. Now, what's very interesting is, these are the three key terms that you come across in Hilchas Negoim, se'es, safachas, and baheres. Says the Shem Mishmul, and this is Rabbi Bernstein quotes this, that these three expressions, Se'es, Sapachas, and Baheres, allude to the three primary reasons why a person may be drawn to speaking Lashon Hara. How so? Well, let's take a look. Se'es relates to the word Nisso, to be elevated, to raise up, to carry. A person sometimes feels that he needs to expose the faults of others or to speak negatively about another person, and thereby he can raise himself up higher than them. That's what se'es is. He speaks negatively about another person because I can elevate myself falsely at his expense. That's what se'es refers to. Sapachas relates to the word safiach. Safiach means an attachment. And a person may feel that gossip and spreading slander and speaking Lashon Hara about another person will enable me to attach myself to another peer group, to ingratiate myself to a certain circle of friends. That's another motive. Credibility. Yeah, I know inside information, I know something. So whatever it may be, I'm speaking about, whoever it may be, in order to ingratiate myself, to attach myself to another peer group. So that's what the word sapachas could allude to. And the third one, baheres, which is an expression of bahir, which means light, bright, or illuminate. And again, a person could feel erroneously that my critical analysis and a breakdown, my sort of armchair psychology, that my breakdown of another person's character will reveal me as possessing some sort of enlightened, illuminated insight. So these three, se'es, sapachas, and baheres, all relate to reasons, to motives, why a person will be drawn to speaking Lashon Hara. And that's really what the three terms relate to. Now, the reality is that it often has exactly the opposite effect. That a person who speaks slander reveals himself to be unkind and to actually be quite insecure. And the reality is that the people you're trying to ingratiate yourself to will actually be suspicious of you and you will actually be an object of derision amongst those that you interact and you're trying to impress. So really, these three negoim, se'es, sapachas, and baheres, like I say, relate to the three reasons why a person may be drawn to speaking Lashon Hara. Se'es, he feels the need to raise himself up over other people, to expose their faults so I can sort of make myself bigger. Or sapachas, which means attach, that I can attach myself to a certain group by speaking bad of others. Or baharis, to sort of make out that I'm sort of illuminated, I'm insightful and possessing sort of wisdom, and therefore I can make this sort of critical analysis or really a character assassination about another person. Okay, fascinating insights of the Shem Yishmor. Let's finish off with one final idea, and this is also an idea I saw in Rabbi Ben de Sefer. This is in Parshas Tazria, in Perek Yud Gimel, in the same Perek. Now, in the Pasuk, after the one I just mentioned, it says, Odom Kiyeh Be'er Besaros Se'eso Sapachos Ubaheres, these three terms, and then Pasuk Gimel, there's a redundancy in this Pasuk, which is a fascinating redundancy, because the Pasuk says, V'ro ha-koyen es ha-nega, Be'er ha-boso, the Kohen sees the nega, yeah, a person sees is afflicted with this blemish, and he goes to the Kohen, and then later in the same pasuk, and the Kohen sees it and is metamehim. So you've got the words twice in that pasuk. He's seen it. Why is he seeing it twice? It just seems blatant when you now look at it, but it's easy to pass by. But why does it say V'ra HaKohen twice? V'ra HaKohen is HaNega, V'ar Basar, V'ser Basar, Nehafach Lovon, Amar HaNega, etc. V'ra HaKohen V'tzim Yosef. Why does it say it twice? So the Meshech Chochma addresses the issue. Take a look at the last box on the page. V'ra HaKohen is HaNega. V'ra HaKohen. HaKfelus Mavuah V'ayin B'Teras Kohanim. Okay, this is not, of course, redundant. The Teras Kohanim addresses that point. However, says the Meshech Chochma, aside from what the Teras Kohanim says, Yitochin al derech, we can explain through some drush a different idea. Shehakavona sheyire es hanega im hi ru'uya letmeya. There are two sites, there are two sort of observations that the Kohen has to make. One is the first, just to see, is this Tomei? He looks at the nega, is this Tomei? Hu sheyesh besimen tum seilovon. Has he got the seilovon, the white hair, which will make it, that's the simen tumah for this particular nega. Then, v'ro'ohu ha-kohen, he sees it again, she'yira ha-kohen alo ish imroyu l'tumosoi. He's looking not so much at the nega, he's looking at the bigger picture. He's looking at this man, is this appropriate right now to make him Tomei? What does that mean? If the nega is Tomei, then that's it. Why are you looking at the wider picture? What does that refer to? For example, im chosam, if the man has just got married, noisim lo kol shiva yimei hamishta. Rashi brings this in this week's Edra, that if he's in the Sheva Brachas week, he's just got married, you don't actually have to proclaim him Tomei, and in fact you shouldn't. You should wait until the end of the Sheva Brachas, because the tumah only kicks in when the kohen declares him to be Tomei. Another example is, the kohen can come to the house. He sees that sign on the wall has spread. This is bad news. But what will he do? Before he says anything, he proclaims it Tomei, he'll tell the owner of the house, take all your kelim out. And then you can proclaim it Tomei. So there is a bigger picture which he needs to see before he can actually proclaim it Tomei. V'chein beregel. Another example is a chosen taking out the klicheres from the house, the vest, the earthenware, which cannot be toveled in a mikveh. You don't want to make him in Tomei and he's got to sit chutz l'machaneh for a whole week, Erev Pesach. The timing will be a disaster. You shouldn't disturb his simcha. The Torah is beautiful and pleasant. There's a second v'ra'ohu. You're looking at the bigger picture. You're looking at, you take a step back. For whatever reason he can't be aside from people, you can hold off. Understand this. So you see that the two v'ro ha-kohen, one is to actually see if this is Tomei or not, and the second one is to see the bigger picture. And with that, Rav Benza, there's lots of. It's very important for a Rav, for a Mechanech, for a person to see a little bit beyond the question that comes in front of you. So he tells a story, for example, of there was a Rosh Hashiva who died tragically very young. He was 46. Rabbi Eliezer Gelzala, I think you pronounce it. Yisrael Bess has written a biography of him. He was a very charismatic, young, vibrant Rosh Hashiva. And he once came to the yeshiva, and the mashgiach told him that he had to expel a boy. He had to send a boy home for a day or two, whatever it was. So he suddenly saw that the Rosh Hashiva, this Rabbi Eliezer Gelzala, his face like turned color, changed color. So the Mashiach said, but we've discussed this before. If a person, the boy does in the yeshiva, does this violation, we have to send them home. So the Rosh Hashiva said to him, yeah, but do you know the home he comes from? Do you know what his home life is like? This will be a disaster to send him home. Yes, generally speaking, this is the rule of this yeshiva. But do you know about this boy, what his home life is like? If you don't see the fuller picture, then it will be a disaster to send this kid home. Quickly go and call and say we've made a mistake and he needs to come straight back. Now, whatever was going on in that home, I don't know. But he knew that this was bad news to send him home. You've got to just see the bigger picture. He tells another story that in his Rosh Hashiva of Dar Chitura, of Yaakov Bender. So they have, you know, you're a big yeshiva, you've got a big deficit. You've got to have an annual fundraising campaign. So one of the things they do for fundraising is they have what's called a bikeathon. Right? It's a bit like we have in here in London, the Kef cycle, right? So there are lots of, here it's men, I think, whatever, but there it's the kids in the yeshiva, they do a bikeathon, and they cycle whatever it is, and they raise sponsor money, like Hospital Kosher Meals, we're getting knocks on the door at the moment, so something like that. So they Bender, this is an annual thing, and all the Rebbes in each class try and encourage the students to get excited about it. One time, Reb Bender's walking in the corridor, some years ago, and he sees a kid crying. So he goes up to him, what's the matter? So the kid's saying, look, my Rebbe keeps talking about this bikeathon, and he said it's just so painful for him because he doesn't own a bike. He'd love to do it, he'd love to cycle, but he doesn't own a bike. And Reb Bender very bravely admitted, he said, we'd overlooked that. He said, now we've corrected it. Now there are any kid who hasn't got a bike, now there are people queuing up to sponsor them to buy bikes for kids who haven't got bikes, etc. But sometimes you can do something which is very, you know, positive. You can have a bikeathon, you can raise money for the yeshiva, it's a sponsored cycle, but you've got to see the fuller picture. And if you don't see the full picture, you're going to get kids crying in the corridor. So it's a certain sensitivity that is needed. So either way, we've got here three very interesting ideas in Parshas Tazria. Number one, sensitive chinuch, why it is, dafka with the Yoledes, that here, which is the exception, the Ben Yonah comes before the Torah. Why? Because the Ben Yonah will move on, will be okay. But the Torah, because you only take one bird, you take away the partner, then it's going to be very distressing for the remaining partner. The lesson of sensitivity, and that's the Alta of Slobodka, going to the Beis HaKvaras and sort of not being wary of Loeg Lerosh and Rav Palm with his $5 bill on the sidewalk. Then you have the Lashon Hara, that insight of the Shemesh Shmuel, those terms, which are terms, very technical terms in Hilchas Nagoyim, Se'es, Sapachas, Baharis, but each one says the Shemesh Shmuel could relate to a reason why a person could be drawn to speaking Lashon Hara, and the really, which is the primary cause of Tzaras. And then lastly, the idea of the Meshech Chochmah, that Veroa Kohen, he's got to see twice. A, the individual Nega, is this or is this not Tomei? And then he's got to see the bigger picture. The bigger picture is that maybe he's a chosen, maybe there are kalim in the house, maybe it's before Yom Tov. He's got to see the bigger picture, and he can hold off from actually declaring it Tomei because he's got to see the bigger picture. And those are the two stories of Rabbi Eliezer Gelzala, I think, and that bikeathon in Yeshiva Dar Chitura. Okay, we'll leave it there.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.